Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. In today's message, Paul is encouraging the Philippians to go about and be good representatives and good ministers and good witnesses to all. For by our joy, by our fruits of our spirit, we are known to be Christians, followers of Christ, and disciples. And by that, we can draw others in. So, listen to your own personal message as I read Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice always in the Lord. I say rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds and in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard of me or have seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. First, I want to thank Anna put us a sign up front, I believe from the Rotary Club, announcing the Thanksgiving dinner, and I believe it's going to be used for the cookie walk, so that's a good advertisement for us. People look and know that we're here and alive and doing something, so that is certainly good, so thank you. In 1998, there was a film that was nominated to 7 Academy Awards. It was entitled Life is Beautiful. It's a touching story about an Italian Jewish family that's taken to a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. At the camp, Guido, the father, uses his fertile imagination to shield his son Joshua from the horrors of life in this horrible, terrible place. He hides his son from the Nazi guards and he sneaks him food and tries to humor him. And Guido does everything he can to hide the true situation from his son Joshua. In an attempt to keep up his son's spirits, Guido convinces him that the camp is just a game, in which the first person to get 1,000 points wins a tank. He tells him that if he cries, he loses points. If he complains that he wants his mother, says that he is hungry, he will lose points. Quiet boys who hide from the camp guards earn points. First one to 1,000 wins. Under the most tragic circumstances, Guido brings joy into his son's life by turning an awful circumstance into a game. Guido was played by the Italian actor and director, and I hope I probably will butcher the name, Roberto Benigni. Is that right? Or even close? When Roberto received the Best Actor Award, the first for a male performer ever given by an Academy Award for a non-English speaking role, he burst in joy and danced over the tops of the chairs and leaped up onto the stage. I remember watching that and seeing it. He then proceeded to squeeze actress Sophia Loren, who presented him with the award so tightly that he nearly crushed her. Then he said he wanted to kiss everybody and die in an ocean of generosity. At the following year's ceremony, when he read the nominees for Best Actress, host Billy Crystal playfully appeared behind him with a large net to restrain him if he got excessive with his annex again. Explaining his behavior, he said this, "It's a sign of mediocrity when you demonstrate gratitude with moderation." I think that's a very beautiful statement if we really think about it. It's a sign of mediocrity when you demonstrate gratitude with moderation. I think that's a sentiment that the Apostle Paul would agree without any hesitation. Listen to his words again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, don't be moderate in giving thanks to God. And this doesn't mean we have to become a Pentecostal church and dance in the aisles and jump over the pews and holler. But I read about a recent rural Baptist church years ago that folks got real excited at some revival meetings. And if you've ever been in a Pentecostal or a Baptist church where they get excited in revival meetings, you can understand this. One man stood up and declared, "I've been smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and I'm going to quit." Folks in the congregation said, "Amen." Then another man stood up, "I've been drinking 2 cans of beer a day, and I'm going to quit." And there was, "Amen, brother, amen." One said, "I've been cursing an awful lot, and I'm going to quit," said another parishioner. Then there was amens all over the congregation. And caught up in the excitement of the moment, an older lady stood up and said, "I haven't been doing anything, and I'm going to quit that too." She didn't want to miss out on the excitement, even though she hadn't done anything. It's nice to get excited in church every once in a while. It doesn't happen often enough. One thing we should get excited about every day is the blessings that we have received from God in our lives. "Do not be anxious about anything," wrote St. Paul, "but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Often we go to God and ask Him for something, and we don't say thank you in our prayers. It says to me that gratitude ought to be the dominant theme of our lives. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but our whole year should be marked by an attitude of gratitude. That is the only way to live. Such an attitude will do wonders for your health as well as your psychological well-being. At least that's the testimony of many people. According to Dr. Michael Brickley, a psychologist who focuses on issues related to aging, he says that more and more citizens are living to be 100 or more, living active lives. He says they have things in common. He's isolated these. The first is a sense of gratitude. They are grateful for having life, just a basic thing. And then they are having a proactive approach to life. They desire to learn and grow and have an optimistic attitude, the same things that the Bible tries to teach us to have. You can call it a self-fulfilling prophecy if you like, but it appears that the more grateful you feel, the more things that you have to feel grateful about. The old song says, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." That's the testimony of the seniors who are living these rich, full lives. Scientist Robert Emmons, in an article on the joy of thanks, considers the physical and psychological benefits of thankfulness to be equal to that of therapy. He said, "Gratitude promotes a basic disposition, one that seems to make living happier, healthier, more fulfilling, and even longer lives. So we need to all do ourselves a favor and learn to thank God daily for the blessings that we have received. And not just when things are going your way, we need to learn to thank you regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in." In the book of Acts, Paul and Silas are preaching Galatia when God directs them to go to Macedonia. At first, they didn't want to go, but everywhere they tried to go, that they wanted to go, the doors were closed, and God just didn't allow them to go there. Slam shut. Finally, they agreed to follow God's will. When they finally got to Macedonia, they were falsely accused of a crime. They are beaten, thrown into jail. Imagine that. God's will, and these things are happening to you. They did what they believed God wanted them to do, and they were running into all kinds of problems and troubles. At this point, Paul and Silas have a choice. Will they give in to self-pity? Will they begin complaining? Not Paul and not Silas. In the dark prison cell, they begin praising God and singing hymns. Suddenly, an earthquake shakes the prison. Their chains fall off. The prison doors fly open, and the prisoners are released. Praise and thanksgiving will always set us free from our troubles, even if the circumstances do not change. The great evangelist Dwight Moody told about an older man who got up in a meeting that he was conducting. The man said that he had lived nearly all of his life on Grumble Street, but he had decided to move to Thanksgiving Street. What a beautiful thing. A nice change of address from Grumble Street to Thanksgiving Street. Isn't that what the Bible is trying to get us to do? Be a thankful, grateful, happy, joyous, rejoicing people. It's easy to count your blessings when things are going your way, but it takes a mature faith to give thanks when things are not so good in your life. Writer Kathleen Norris tells about a friend of hers, a young woman who's a brilliant scholar. She was stricken with cancer, and over the course of several years, she came very close to dying on three different occasions. Fortunately, after extensive treatments of radiation and chemotherapy, she went into remission, and her prognosis is uncertain at best, but she's been able to return to teaching. Even after all she's been through, this friend once remarked to an older colleague, "I never want to go back to the way I was living before the cancer, because now I know that each morning means, and I am so grateful just to be alive." That is a testimony of many people who've been through similar trials. They're grateful to be alive and able to appreciate what each morning brings and means. Gratitude is an acknowledgement of our dependence on God. Gratitude is an action that has its roots in grace, the free, undeserved love of God. When we are truly grateful, we become aware that we are dependent for everything upon God, and we're also dependent upon our fellow human beings, our family, our church, our neighbors. And we are truly grateful, we recognize that God has favored us, whether we deserve favoring or not. Thanksgiving is a holiday on which we acknowledge our dependence on God, as well as our acknowledgement of the many blessings that we have in our lives. Bishop Thomas Ken understood that. Bishop Ken wrote the words to the tune that we know and we sing is our doxology. Bishop Ken was born in England 17 years after the Pilgrims came to America. His life was extremely turbulent. He experienced personal problems as well as physical and political turmoil. He lived through the Great London Fire that destroyed 4/5 of the city. He lived through the bubonic plague that brought death to thousands and thousands. And in spite of this, he maintained an attitude of praise to God, as he demonstrated that attitude in the time-honored chorus that we sing. But have you ever really thought about the words or listened to the words? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Not some, not a few, but all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. To me, that means the cats and the dogs, all the animals, but all the people especially. Praise God. Praise Him, ye heavenly hosts. The angels in heaven praise Him. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Gratitude ought to be the dominant theme of our lives, and not just when things are going our way. Gratitude is an acknowledgement of our dependence on God and an acknowledgement that all blessings come from God. After all, it's a sign of mediocrity when you demonstrate gratitude with moderation. So let's make sure we say thanks to God every day. And let's all remember, life is beautiful when you live it every day with God and are grateful in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Life is beautiful. May God bless you. Amen.